Hi, my name's Chris Medell. I'm CEO of Allstate. Worked with Allstate just to give you a little bit of background for the last 2 years. I've been in the insurance industry for more years than I'd like to mention, but started in the 1980s, if you can remember that far back. Most of you won't. As you can probably tell from my accent, I come from the UK. My last place of work in the UK was with Ace. Did 7 years with Ace before coming to Sydney to run a financial lines practice in Sydney. And I was with Ace stroke Chubb for about 6 years before joining Allstate. So on to the topic of conversation today, which is weather insurance. It's a new product to the agricultural industry in Australia, but in fact, it's actually a product that has been available in the markets for probably 20 years or more now, in different industry sectors in different parts of the world. It's been available in Australia for about the last 12 months. And Allstate, rather than aligning with one particular capacity provider, has got access to a platform that gives us up to 9 different capacity providers. And I'll come back to that point later, but I think it's an important point when you consider the current marketplace and multi-peril. So what is weather protection insurance? Well, I guess I should start by saying what it isn't. It isn't fire and hail protection, so it's not traditional crop insurance. Some people do get confused by that, but it isn't. It's also not multi-peril crop protection. It's a very viable alternative to multi-peril, and particularly in the last few days and weeks with what's happened in the multi-peril space, with a number of providers removing their capacity, this suddenly becomes a much more interesting opportunity, as there is really very little left in a multi-peril context these days. So, weather protection, its literal term is that it's a contract that compensates for adverse weather conditions. And those conditions are measured by BOM, the Bureau of Meteorology. And usually it's structured on a single peril basis. So the major difference between multi-peril and weather is that we're focusing on the single largest risk that a farmer faces. And I say farmer, it's important to understand that it's not just a protection for broadacre farmers. It can be for any farmer. It could be for a cattle farmer, a sheep farmer. It really doesn't matter. And in fact, it extends beyond the farming community. You're able to insure using this protection any business that is impacted by a weather event. And most businesses do have some impact from weather events. So we're focusing in the agricultural space principally because Allstate is a farm pack insurer, for those that that don't know. We've been writing farm pack business for since 2008. As an agency, we're backed by Chubb. And we look to expand our product base out. So at the moment, we're looking at management liability. We also have a new opportunity with Group PA and corporate travel, and we're extending the number of products out so that we can try and sell more to individual customers. We looked at crop insurance, and we also looked at multi-peril, and we decided multi-peril was too complex. And I kind of stumbled on weather protection, actually. And what I like about it is its simplicity, and hopefully I'll be able to describe just how simple it is to you today. You can purchase this protection in two formats. It can be in an insurance format, and it can also be in a derivative format. Now, Allstate's license doesn't extend to derivative, but we do have a partner that, for a very, very small fee, they carry out a check with the customer and the client. A statement of advice is produced, And this is really to ensure that from a legal point of view, we're doing things the right way. The aim of weather protection really is to smooth cash flow. What it's designed to do is remove volatility to a business's cash flow. If you think about it, a farmer is more exposed to low rainfall than any other thing. If he doesn't have rain, then his crops won't grow. He might choose not to plant because maybe there's no subsoil moisture, and he is absolutely dependent on rain coming and rain coming quickly. And when it doesn't, he either decides as a broadacre farmer not to sow, and then he has to go a whole season trying to, what he ends up doing actually is borrowing from the bank. And the banks are becoming much more restrictive over those lending practices to the farmers. So this is actually a product that could smooth a lot of that volatility, and I will explain how. So first of all, what information do I need from you in order to put a protection together? It's very simple, actually. All I need is a GPS, decimalized GPS location, so the latitude and longitude of the farm itself. I want to know what the farmer is most concerned with in terms of a single peril, and that is normally in Australia, as you might expect, low rainfall. The period that they want protected. So the beauty of this product and the flexibility of the product is such that you don't have to buy an annual policy. You can buy a policy for the germinating season, so between April and June. The dates are determined by the customer. So it could be germinating rainfall that is the biggest concern. The majority of farmers find that finishing rainfall in the period between August and October is the is normally the rainfall that they need the most. So most protections we put together focus on finishing rain. But some people do look at annual, some people do look at a whole variety of different things. And some people actually look at high rainfall at harvest. So not only can we offer low rainfall, we can also do a high rainfall contract too. The important thing is that the period is at least 1 month or greater. And the purchase has to occur at least 1 month prior to inception. The closer you get to inception, normally the more expensive the product becomes. And that is purely because when the farmer is looking at a shorter range forecast, and that forecast is suggesting a really poor period, they come to purchase. Well, guess what? The insurer is doing exactly the same thing, looking at the same forecast, and sure enough, the pricing increases because the risk factors have increased. So to summarize, as I've said, in terms of what I need, I just need that GPS location, the period that they're most interested in, and the risk that they're most concerned about, low rainfall obviously being the predominant risk in Australia. If it's a broadacre farm, a cropper, then we like to know how many hectares they farm. And then the limit of protection that's required. Now, that limit can actually be whatever the customer wants it to be. It doesn't need to be a limit that is established in the way that multi-peril is, with a high degree of sort of research looking at yield values, etc. Most farmers buy input cost recovery. So the money that it costs them to put the seed in the ground, plus sprays, fertilizer, you name it. What we normally do is work out what that average cost is per hectare once we've got the hectare size. Most broadacre farmers, the limit requirements are around about $250 per hectare. Now that can change if somebody grows canola. Canola is normally 300 to 350. And if you've got a mixed farm with a number of different crops, then the farmer just needs to work out what that limit is. It doesn't have to be the total number of hectares either. He can decide to reduce the limit if he wants to. So it's highly flexible. But the three main ones, as I said, input cost recovery is the biggest. in terms of limit. Some people do include financing costs as well, especially if those financing costs are increasing. And if you want the whole gamut of protection, then you can also include loss of profit as well. So what does Allstate do with your information? Well, I mentioned that we're linked into a platform. That platform gives us access to historical data. We use what's called gridded bomb data, and gridded bomb data allows us to get much closer to a location than a bomb station would. One of the historical problems and the reasons why this wasn't available before in Australia was partly because the bomb station sites were a long way away from the farms. And obviously weather precipitation can be quite vague. And as a result of that, people felt that there was too much of a difference between what the weather station was saying and what they actually saw on their land. Gridded data enables us to get to within 2 to 3 kilometres of the land. And in some cases, because of the size and scale of some of these farms, with a GPS location right in the middle of that farm, you'll find that the gridded data is sometimes even touching the land in which they're working. So that enables us to give a historical look back, normally 100 years worth of data. So I've got daily rainfall. Sounds really dull, but I've got daily rainfall going back 100 years for these individual locations. And what that enables us to do is assess the volatility in the weather and to make an assessment as to how to put the protection together. Now, this is an index of protection. So what it basically does is I look at the average mean rainfall. I then normally start by looking at what is 50% of that average. And that is where I would draw a line on a graph to say that's the start point of protection. I then look at the historical 100-year look back for the period of protection that we're looking for and look at which year historically was the lowest ever recorded year. So using a simple example, let's say the average rainfall was 200 millimetres at a particular site for finishing rain. And so therefore the 50% of that average is 100 millimetres. Let's assume that the lowest ever recorded year for that period of cover, going back over 100 years worth of data, gave a reading of 10 millimetres. So what we're doing is we're creating an index of protection to say that the protection starts at 50% of the average mean rainfall. We set it at 50%, by the way, because most farmers in conversation with them say that broadacre yields suffer significantly when the rain is less than 50%. They can normally get away with a reasonably good crop if it's greater than 50%. And obviously the closer to the average, the better potential for that crop. So what we're trying to do is design sort of catastrophe protection to really give them payback in those years when their cash flow is most at need. And that is obviously those years principally where the rain hasn't rained. So using the example, as I said, 100 millimetres was the 50% average. We assumed that the exit point of protection would be the point at which the historical data suggested the lowest rainfall year, which I'd said was 10 millimetres. So what you've done is you've constructed protection over a 90 millimetre span. What we do then is we divide the limit by 90, and you then get, on a straight line basis, a repayment curve, which effectively, for every millimetre below the strike point, the insurance would trigger a payout. Now, the reason it's designed like that is that so that in years when the rainfall is at its lowest, the payout is greater. And obviously, that makes sense, because if you're looking at cash flow volatility, the lower the rainfall, the worse the opportunity for harvest, the worse the opportunity, the lower the cash. So this provides a greater share of the limit in those years when in those subsequent years when the rain simply hasn't fallen. Some key considerations that you need to be aware of. The structure that I sort of put together there and explained to you is the start point for discussions with your client. So your client will know their land better than we do. And in those conversations, and that's a conversation that I can have jointly with you to help, the client can come back and say, well, actually, I don't want protection structured in that way. I know that actually I'm okay with rainfall less than 50%. So what we can do is shift, all we need to do is shift the index. We can move that index around. So there's a lot of variation. And the really interesting thing is that the farmers really buy into that. They actually feel as though they're really creating something themselves, which is somewhat unique really when you look at insurance. And that ownership really normally works very, very well. So they might have a personal budget, and the pricing that we've given for a particular structure might be too high for them. Or we can do a number of things. We can reduce the limit if necessary, or we can shift the index. If you shift the index further away from the average mean, then what happens is that the premium reduces because the risk of the strike point, the start point of protection being triggered has lowered. Similarly, someone might want to raise the strike point, the start point of protection, to closer to the average mean. And in doing so, obviously, that will increase the premium because the likelihood of payout increases as well. It's important that these things are agreed, as I think I've said before, at least 1 month prior to. Ideally, it would be better if somebody was discussing this 6 months in advance. The pricing, once you get to within 3 months, starts to potentially increase, especially if the farmer is trying to time the purchase. And the important thing to remember here is this isn't actually what we're trying to do. We're not trying to create something that will guarantee a payout in the forthcoming year. What this is designed to do, and this is something that I'm suggesting farmers should be getting into on a regular basis, having this protection to give them greater comfort, because it's nothing. It's no different to a spray or a fertilizer. You know, sprays, they can spend 40, 50 bucks per hectare, and the spray doesn't actually do anything. Average premiums, if you ask, you know, what's the minimum premium for this? There isn't a minimum premium. It depends on the individual characteristics of the weather patterns at a particular site. So there's no such thing as a minimum premium. These are all fairly new sort of concepts, so it's important to get that right in your own mind. This is designed, as I say, to reduce that cash flow volatility. But on average, with the number of contracts that I've looked at over the last 12 months, they're in the hundreds, the average premium would roughly be somewhere between $20 per hectare for a broadacre farmer up to just under $30. That's the average. Some come in lower, some come in a bit higher. Now, when you're looking at a limit of $250 or $300 per hectare, that in terms of rate online might seem quite high. But when you look at the payouts that would have occurred historically, and we're able to go back and say exactly how much money somebody would have received had they had the protection in place previously, What it does is it adds an input cost to their business, but it smooths the volatility that they suffer from. And that is their biggest single problem. And it's the biggest single problem for the financier as well. The banks are actually quite keen on this type of cover because they will feel more confident. Banks don't like risk, whereas insurance companies live and breathe risk. So this actually should be something that insurers provide over banks. And the banks quite like the idea. So we're actually potentially working with a few of the major banks to see whether they will support this. So a few other points. There's no proof of loss required. So you don't need a lawyer with this. You don't need an agronomist to come and check yield in the same way that you do multi-barrel. It's very straightforward. No proof of loss. So basically, it's effectively like betfair.com for weather. It's a bet on the weather. The outcome subsequent to that, be it the crop that they recover, let's assume that they have a bizarre year where actually they get a reasonable crop out. And this year would have been a good example, the last 12 months, because wheat prices were so high, grain was exceedingly expensive because of the drought. So those that did manage to actually get some crop got a much bigger payout from that crop than they would otherwise have. So some of those had a situation where not only did they make a good crop, more so than they should have done with the amount of rainfall there was, but they also received a payout. Claims are settled very promptly and objectively. So we have to wait until the Bureau of Meteorology results come in, and those results are shared as soon as possible. That is normally within 45 days of the end of the contract period, because you need time for the BOM to collect that data. And because it's gridded data, they run a number of tests to make sure that the data is accurate, and that takes a few days. But the payouts, we've experienced payouts, and the client feedback has been extremely strong. Just a small point on who the protection sellers are. So we linked into this site, as I suggested, and there are up to 9 different global insurance weather protection sellers out there. Now, these companies are multi-billion dollar businesses. They've been writing this type of business in multiple sectors in different parts of the world for many, many years. They all have a greater than A plus with Standard & Poor's. And the important point here, and this is where I think it's different from the multi-peril product, is we've chosen not to align ourselves with one partner. Why? Well, for a couple of reasons. Firstly, the pricing is very different. So one provider might provide a price of $50,000 and another will want $300,000 for the same risk. Don't ask me why, but it's slightly bizarre, but that's what we found. So we've purposely kept it as competitive as possible. So we were able to get terms from each of those 9 potential markets. There are 2 or 3 who tend to be more successful than the rest. But the important point is, the other point of note and what differentiates from perhaps some of the multi-peril is, because they've got these portfolios around the world, they are a natural hedge for them. So they're not just writing business in Australia, which obviously is extremely volatile and probably explains why most of the multi-peril products have now disappeared again. Most of those providers have only really focused in the one area, which obviously is extremely dangerous. The premium needs to be paid at least 14 days prior to inception. So if somebody puts a program together and they do that 3 to 6 months beforehand, premium still doesn't need to be paid until a couple of weeks before inception, but it does need to be paid before inception. That's important. We are working with some providers to look at financing opportunities. We're talking to the banks, as I said, to try and promote this product. And through the banks, we're hoping to access government in some form or another, because the government really needs to step up and ideally offer tax incentives. They've talked about it, but obviously they still haven't done anything. It's probably going to be another 100 years, so I won't be so worried about it. But you live in hope. Probably one of the last points to mention is that the entity that carries out the settlement calculations are not owned by the insurers. They're independent. So they don't actually care what the result is. And it's important to note that. They're also recognised, they're based in the UK, but they're recognised by the Bureau of Meteorology generally in a global context. So they're a very solid firm, and they create sort of finalised contracts which they issue to the customers. So in summary, this isn't all pie in the sky. It's not a product that sounds great and the Royal Commission is going to jump all over it at some point because it never pays out, because we've got a very good example of a payout So this happened last year. A potential customer approached us from Ningen in New South Wales, which is sort of west of Dubbo. He was interested in germinating rain protection. He bought a contract from the 15th of May to the 30th of June. It was a $440,000 limit. He had 1,760 hectares. So we worked on the average of $250 per hectare. He was comfortable with that. The attachment point of cover we struck was exactly the 50% point. He was very comfortable with that, and that was 40 millimetres. And the exit point historically was 15 millimetres, and that's where the contract was closed out. He paid $44,440, or $25.25 per hectare, which seems a lot of money. And a number of his neighbouring farms thought the guy was loopy, he'd lost his marbles, he needed to be taken away by many white goats. You think I'm joking? Genuinely, that is what they thought. Anyway, this guy was actually very smart. There was hardly any rainfall in the whole period, obviously in the middle of the drought in New South Wales. He actually had heavy rainfall on the 28th of June, and that was 2 days before the end of the contract. But it was only for about 16 millimetres on the day. So in total, over the whole period, he only received 19.7 millimetres. His actual payout was $357,280. So for a $44,000 premium to get a payout of that magnitude in year one was pretty good going. Now, the insurer has offered terms to him this year. He's not sure whether he's going to purchase germinating this year, mainly because the subsoil moisture is in a better place than it was last year. And interestingly, this guy was a very smart farmer, as most farmers are. And in conversation, I realised that he hadn't actually sown. So he took out this protection based on input cost that he didn't actually spend. And he did ask me whether the contract allowed, and there's nothing in the contract that doesn't allow it. Now, multi-peril, what's left of it, requires sowing dry. So if you've got a situation there, then you can spend nearly $250 per hectare sowing something in dry conditions, knowing that you're wasting your money and wasting your time. So an agronomist can come along and say, yes, they've sown, so the policy can potentially be triggered. This does not require that. Now, that's not to say that insurers might not get cute to that down the line, but again, it comes back to, it's not about the crop, it's not about the yield, it's a bet on the weather. And that is all he did. There's nothing actually to stop a secondary market being created for this, because essentially, in a sort of derivative style, it is like a bet. Obviously, we're focused on the primary farmer market because we feel that there's a valid need. And this had the majority of people in New South Wales in 2018 bought protection, there would have been many more payouts. But we've had a good experience with the providers. They're very comfortable with it because they write hundreds of millions of dollars in premium in different parts of the world. So paying out a few million dollars really doesn't touch the sides. So in summary, I hope I haven't bored you. I hope no one's fallen asleep. But we think that this is quite an interesting new product, and we're very excited about the opportunity. In terms of next steps, if you have any potential customers that you think might be interested, important thing to emphasise is none of this costs any money. So someone could go through the process, we do all the work, we put the pricing together, and then they decide not to commit. That's fine. There's also some other important considerations which I would discuss at the time. We care very much about Allstate's reputation and CBN's as well, and we want to do this in the right way, working with customers who really understand this and really buy into to the concept. So we're very excited, but by all means, take a look at the presentation. You're welcome to contact me.